The following program is recorded content created by the Truth Network.
Wake up, everyone. It's time for the Steve Noble Show, where biblical Christianity meets the everyday issues of life in your home, at work, and even in politics. Steve is an ordinary man who believes in an extraordinary God, and on his show, there's plenty of grace and lots of truth, but no sacred cows. Call Steve now at 866-34-TRUTH. That's 866-34-TRUTH. Or check him out online at thestevenobleshow.com. And now, here's your host, Steve Noble.
Okay, Merry Christmas. Welcome back, everybody. You know how I make it a point to get all up in your business. And that's just iron sharpening iron. I can baptize that a little bit. But generally on the show, pretty regularly, kind of the background mission behind the show is really similar to what happened to me and what happened to both of my guests today, which is you're kind of minding your business and you're trying to live your life for Christ and you're trying to make a difference. And mostly that's pretty central to your home and a family, which is normal for most of us. But occasionally there's things that come up and hit your radar screen and you have a heart for it, but oftentimes you struggle with, well, can I really make a difference? Do I have the time? I have a family, whatever the case may be. So I try to throw a lot at you and share things with you with different ministries, whether they're here in the Raleigh area or the Triangle area around the state, even around the country, to try to just kind of prod that in all of us. James said, if you show me your faith by what you say, I'll show you my faith by what I do. I talk about that a lot with respect to the life issue. I don't know any convictional Christians that aren't pro-life, but I know very few convictional Christians that do anything with their pro-life faith. They make a statement of pro-life faith, but they don't have much works behind it, and they don't get involved. And you may have a heart for the refugee issue, and I'm going to challenge you on that today in terms of not thinking politically. If you can, hit the pause button on your political reaction. I say the word refugee, don't let it trigger you, okay? Don't go there. You don't have to go to the southern border. I can go to the Old Testament if I need to, and we can talk about that and loving your neighbor as yourself. But if the refugee plight of the refugees is something that touches your heart, well, the question is, what are you doing about it? Or perhaps it's just the kind of needs that we see increasingly in this country, especially with COVID, with people that are dealing with poverty. We had a caller the other day. This was interesting. You're going to meet Donna and Michelle here in a second. But Donna, this will ring true to you. I had a caller the other day because I was talking. We did a show on Santa Claus. And a sweet lady called in. She said, I grew up in poverty. We never had Christmas presents, but I always heard Santa Claus brought presents to good little kids. So my assumption was I'm a bad kid because my parents couldn't afford anything. So I never thought of the Santa Claus question from an impoverished perspective. But that's real, and it's real for a whole lot of people. So if poverty, people that don't have much, which is an increasing number around us, perhaps that's something that touches your heart. Well, again, my question for you is, what are you doing about that? Well, I pray about it, Steve. That's awesome. We should pray about everything, but prayer isn't the only thing we should do in many cases. So today, you'll learn about Refugee Hope Partners as well as North Raleigh Ministries, which are both here in the Raleigh area. Donna's been on the show before. Is it Pygott or Pygott?
Pygott.
Pygott, nice and subtle. Donna Pygott is here, and then Michelle Suffrage. Michelle and Donna, welcome to the show. How are you?
We're great. Thank you so much.
Great. Thanks.
And Michelle and I, our families have known each other for a while.
Yep. Long time.
We're those type of people. We're homeschoolers.
Mm-hmm,
but you have excellent social skills. You said hello when you came in here. You made eye contact. So for all of you that think us homeschoolers are all freaky, you're wrong. You need to come out of the cave. We're not the ones in the cave if you're thinking like that. But a great personal stories for both of them, for Donna and Michelle. And how did they go from kind of observing things and having a heart for things to actually doing things? And they're both very involved in these ministries. Refugee Hope Partners is Michelle, and Donna's talking about North Raleigh Ministries. Donna's been on before. Michelle, we'll start with you because here in Raleigh, in the homeschool world, we've kind of known about this kind of refugee community, which is in a particular part of town here in North Raleigh. But how did that get on your radar screen?
Yeah, so I think it, you know, through suffering, I think a lot of times people's call to ministry comes through suffering. Mm. And early in my marriage, my husband and I, we struggled with infertility. We ended up we lost four babies before we had our oldest. And adoption was always something that was stirring in our hearts. And it was ended up being through the adoption of our son that my eyes were open to vulnerable children and suffering around the world, and went through a journey of probably 3 or 4 years of the Lord just opening my eyes to vulnerable children here in our community. That ended up, a refugee family walked up the hill to my church one Sunday, and that desire that I was having and those questions, and then that intersection of that real family sitting in a pew in my church intersected, and through a couple of more years beyond that, God just drew me deeper and deeper
and
into
when was that
work.
When you first
2007.
Met 2007. So this is a 14-year-old story.
14-year-old story.
With one family that just happens to show up at church.
With one family just walked up the hill to my church one Sunday.
Any vision at the time that this would blossom to you being so involved at Refugee Hope Partners? Because then it was just kind of some families that were getting together and there was a need, and now it's an actual organization and it became official 3.5 years ago. But any vision of that back then that, wow, this could really go somewhere?
Not in the beginning. And I say all the time, I'm an accidental executive director. I never saw myself running a nonprofit, but the Lord just kept bringing to mind needs and people coming together and saying, I think as believers, we can get together and we can figure out a way to kind of tackle that. And more people brought ideas and we just worked together, and people from across different churches, and finally became aware of each other and started praying together. And I say all the time that we're always steps behind the door that the Lord has already opened for us, which is really beautiful. Yeah. And it's just been a walk of faith, but you can't not walk forward when doors keep opening.
Yeah, that's right. And then that's just a matter of obedience at that point. But there's joy in it, and there's rewards in obedience. Every time you're obedient, there's always going to be a reward. What was the phrase you use? An accidental executive?
Is that accidental executive director?
So you're an accidental executive director on a radio show hosted by an accidental radio show host.
There we
so
go.
That's the way the Lord. So let's go to our other accident in the room. That doesn't sound right. Oh. Donna.
No, but
Donna has an accident. See, I'm not a professional.
Yeah. New intro.
I'm just playing around with it. You know, anyway, it's great to see you, Donna. Thanks for coming back, being on the show. Phone before, but now you have to deal with video and bright lights in your face.
Right.
So thank you
right.
for your kindness. But how did this kind of get on your radar screen? Because North Raleigh Ministries is 16 years old. And how long have you been there?
5 years.
And how did it get on your radar screen?
So it accidentally became on my radar screen, actually.
Go.
So I spent about 20 years working in state-level advocacy for crime victims and underserved populations, specifically child abuse prevention. And so I was at the state level for so long, I just had this desire because of church. Like, I helped my church start a food pantry and was leading the teen group, and we were going out and serving food to the homeless population in that area. And I just filled my heart to help the teens learn how to pray with people in the moment in their time of need, and we flourished as a group.
Yeah, but it started with small steps against the break. So we're going to pick it up. Donna Pygutt's here with North Raleigh Ministries, Michelle Suffrage with Refugee Hope Partners. I'm going to put links up on Facebook so you guys can see that and get involved. We're going to continue with their story, how they got involved, what's going on now, and eventually what can you do to help. We'll be right back. Welcome back and Merry Christmas. It's Steve Noble, the Steve Noble Show, talking about what you can do locally by utilizing the stories of two friends of mine, Michelle Suffrage with Refugee Hope Partners here in Raleigh, North Carolina, and Donna Pygutt with North Raleigh Ministries. Donna's been on the show before. Michelle is a first-timer, but we're going through their stories of how they got involved with these various ministries, which started not on purpose. Accidentally seems to be the word of the day today on the show, because I wasn't looking early on to get into radio. That wasn't my plan. Michelle couldn't envision 14 years ago in 2007 that this would become this official, federally recognized ministry. And then, Donna, when you were working with your church and stuff, even though you had been in the realm of dealing with this professionally, the thought of it being kind of a full-time ministry endeavor probably wasn't on your radar screen, was it?
It was not on my radar screen, and it just became more so in my heart, though, and I felt like I needed to take that step forward and really be more boots on the ground out of the advocacy arena and helping people firsthand. And so I just came across North Raleigh Ministries when it was in need of an executive director. And I was like, I have all this experience. And so I'm just going to apply. And it was the only job that I had applied for at the time. It wasn't like I was really looking to make a change. Yeah. I just wanted something more in ministry. And so it just worked out. And here I am.
Was that a scary leap for you?
It really was.
Because did you work for the state?
I didn't work for the state, but state-level nonprofits that also have a national level.
So funding oversight. Wasn't as much
yeah,
of a concern.
Funding, totally different.
Executive
you have a lot
director.
Of grants and contracts yeah. and this and that. And now I'm like, woo. And then, so I'm going to just jump off and know that I'm operating a faith-based ministry, which yeah. is super exciting because I can say Merry Christmas
yeah.
and, you know, God is great. And so, It was scary, but and the scariest thing was that they said, "Oh, and it has a thrift store," and I'm like, "Excuse me?" So I didn't know. Like, I worked in retail when I was young, so I had to put that hat back on as well. But yeah. it was a big leap, and it is completely, completely different.
Yeah, totally
to work
different
firsthand.
And so let's go. We'll stay with you, and then we'll come back to Michelle. So tell us about North Raleigh Ministries and kind of what the essence of what you guys do.
So we really work to equip families and individuals with resources and skills needed to achieve stability. So people come to us in crisis, and most of them are on the verge of homelessness. And so we really try to dive in with people on a relational level and not only provide the food and other like immediate assistance to bring them to just some level of stability, but to dive deeper and engage them into our programs that can really help them change their lives.
And how much has that environment changed in the last 2 years? Because COVID is such a strange player
yes.
on a number
a
of
lot.
Levels.
Yeah. So we've changed significantly. We have curbside grocery assistance because now we have so many food pantry recipients that there's no way they can go through and shop in the way that, you know, was a dignified approach
right, right.
for folks. So it's just very much different. And so they're calling in and then we're engaging through the phone. We have all types of options, though, for people to participate in further programming beyond the food pantry or any type of food need. And that is through Zoom. You can come in one-on-one and meet with a pastor for pastoral counseling, coaching, case management, any of that. So Zoom, phone, doesn't matter. Whatever you're comfortable with,
we invite you in. How much of an increase in needs have you seen in the last couple
of
years?
Wow.
Like as a percentage, how much have things changed?
It was about, well, I think it bordered on about 500% in 2020,
oh,
and then
man.
It went down to about 300%. And I feel like now it's probably 150%.
Still massively
yes,
above what you were expecting.
Very much so. So I don't feel like we're going to be able to open the door, like the physical door,
yeah.
like we had in the past without another type of miracle mm-hmm. happening.
Yeah, and so there's so much work out there, and it's only
yes.
increasing.
Yes.
But on the refugee side, Michelle, at Refugee Hope Partners, let's just talk generally what it started as, because
mm-hmm.
that's a simple story with mm-hmm. just one family, but obviously there's a lot more going on now.
Yeah, so that one family became 5, became 10, became 15. over 14 years, we serve about 1,200 families. It's growing really fast right now with the number of folks that are coming from Afghanistan. So it's a really, really high increase time right now for the number of people that we serve. But we engage, equip, and encourage refugee families so that all may thrive. And we do that in partnership with the local church. We want to engage and mobilize the local church to reach toward these families. We provide a lot of holistic supports and areas that families need. But over doing this for a long time, we see families do it. I mean, it's a lot to leave everything
yeah.
you've ever
oh,
known.
Yeah.
You leave your
Can't
support system, you leave your community, you leave your people. And we are kind of in the job of community building for refugees so that they have family.
Have yeah. the needs changed in terms of going back to 2007, this one family? It was a refugee family. Do you remember where they were from?
Yeah, they were from Burma. They were a Karen family. And probably for the first 5 years, the only families that I really knew were Karen families. But mm-hmm. now we serve people from over 40 different countries through the ministry, through the programs
so
that
as
we
they
offer.
Come to, so as they come to town, do you find now that there's a kind of a consistent flow of what their needs are regardless of where they're coming from?
Yeah, everything's turned upside down. So whether they're coming from Africa, whether they're coming from the Middle East, whether they're coming from Burma, the needs are the same in that they're just trying to figure out life here. And so our systems, act, you know, we have a whole brain vault trust of information that we have from growing up here here mm-hmm. and helping connect people to that knowledge and resources, but then come along beside them and just provide support while they're figuring it out, a safe place, almost like a greenhouse kind of community. But they do it and they figure it out. And it's beautiful to see.
And what are some of the things they have to help them with first? Like, let's just take a refugee family from Afghanistan. And again, that's why I mentioned it earlier, because I think a lot of us in our age group and people that are largely conservative Christians, unfortunately, I think we tend to think politically before we think spiritually or from a theology or even a ministry perspective. So talk about, was that a unique circumstance? Because this is such a big news cycle. I mean, people coming here from Burma, nobody even knows where mm-hmm. Burma is, next to Thailand, by the way. And so people are clueless. But with Afghanistan, now it's so politically charged. What was that like?
Well, it's been really beautiful and it's been really unique because we saw this play out. We all saw it play out on our televisions 90 days ago.
Yeah.
And those people that we were praying for, those people that we were lamenting over, just unbelievable, horrific scenes. And we've heard story after story of people's journey to that airport and horrible things that happened to them collectively as a family. And you hear that over and over and over again. And so those people that we were praying for are here now. Mm-hmm. And they're safe, and we get to be neighbors and friends with them. So it's, you know, it's beautiful. I've never had that experience before. Many of the families that we serve have been in camps for 10, 15 years.
Wow.
Never have things moved this quickly, but we are really thankful to be welcoming these families
here
to our city.
You know, whether we're talking about refugees or we're talking about North Raleigh Ministries, there's an overlap there, which is a group of people that most of us tend to know about but don't get really involved with.
Right.
So we're going to keep talking about this and keep unfolding this story, what's going on at Refugee Hope Partners, what's going on at North Raleigh Ministries, and then I'll make it even more uncomfortable and talk about what's going on with you. What are you doing about any of it? Same question for me. We'll be right back. Welcome back, everybody. It's Steve Noble, the Steve Noble Show. We're going mask only here on the show for the rest of the day, as well as the rest of the year and into next year. So if you're going to watch or be a part of the show, you got to wear a mask. And then also we're going to start doing a vaccine mandate. Just kidding. Just triggering everybody. But that is a subject I wanted to talk about for a while with Michelle Suffrage from Refugee Hope Partners and Donna Pigott from North Raleigh Ministries, both here in the Raleigh area, and two women that weren't looking to be executive directors a few years ago, but yet here they are. Accidental executive directors.
Accidental.
Definitely accidental for Michelle, but that wasn't exactly your plan originally.
Not originally,
Donna,
no.
And then they put the job up and you applied.
Right.
And got it.
I got it.
Did that freak you out when you got the job?
No.
You were
ready.
No.
I was totally ready. I had been an executive director before, it had been many years before that. Many years. So,
And so like North Raleigh Ministries, for example, will touch the lives of about 3,000 people this year. Refugee Hope Partners is working with 1,200 people. How many families is that?
It's about 400 families.
Oh, yeah. So there's a lot going on there, and especially if you're in the Triangle area, especially in Raleigh, these things are in our backyard. So what a great opportunity to kind of move from listening to stories like this to being involved with stories like this. And maybe for you, you'd be the epicenter of it. You would be a Donna or you would be a Michelle, or in my case, you would be a Steve. None of us were really thinking about this years ago, and the Lord in his sovereignty changes things and brings opportunities and doors open, and you choose to walk through them or not. It's a matter of faith. Faithfulness, the rest of it you leave to the Lord in terms of fruitfulness. So what, it doesn't have to be these two ministries, but is there something on your heart that you've wanted to deal with forever, but just haven't? And let the show today be a little loving nudge for me, or perhaps a kick in the rear end. It's time to do something about it, okay? Because God's got all kinds of blessings out there for you if you're obedient to what he's put on your heart. But COVID is totally changed things for both of you guys, because you're dealing with people. And then with refugees, all of a sudden all these kids are home and you have way more people, 300%, 400%, 500% more people, Donna, coming there. So how did you guys deal with COVID for the last almost 2 years now? Donna, you can go first and then we'll jump back to Michelle.
So we quickly pivoted to curbside grocery assistance, and then we offered a Backpack Buddies program with the local schools. And instead of partnering with the local schools because they were closed, we began to offer Backpack Buddies Plus, so kid-friendly food 7 days a week, breakfast, lunch, snacks. So that way, parents had what they needed to ensure that their children were fed. throughout a school day, because normally that child is eating breakfast, lunch at school,
right, they're at
and
school.
You're not thinking about it because they're falling within that poverty percentage where they qualify for free and reduced lunch. So we filled those gaps, and we just began to fill every type of gap that we could related to food insecurity. And then while we had our doors closed as well, we decided just to revamp the way that we do all of our programming and really began to focus on the client's needs, surveying them, making sure that we are helping the whole of the person and not just one or two aspects of that person. And so it's been great for us. We've seen huge success, wonderful program outcomes, tons of engagement with families. So
yeah, and I
it's
think
been
that's,
good.
That's something that's it's a bitter tree in many ways
it
what
is.
We've gone through for the last
yeah.
22 months. But in those seasons, generally, there's a lot of opportunities, especially when we're going to start caring about our neighbors because more and more people have needs. And then you have to be innovative. You got to change. You got to be willing to change what you're doing. I mean, there could be an atomic bomb goes off and it doesn't really change what I do. I just kind of hide here in my little bunker and do my thing. But for you guys down on the street, and plus you have more people coming.
Right.
And then you have to find new ways to deal with it. And like with the refugee community, Michelle, all of a sudden, all these kids, to Donna's point, who are gone all day, now they're all home. That had mm-hmm. to have changed everything for you guys.
Yeah, I mean, I think pivot was the word of 2020 for all of us.
Yes.
We knew right away people were going to, adults were going to be losing jobs. We knew kids were going to be out of school, which meant lack of access to lunch and breakfast. And so I remember it happened really quickly. The shutdown happened really quickly. We were just mm-hmm. reflecting on that a couple of weeks ago. Mm-hmm. I think we had a normal Monday, and by Friday we were shut down for what we thought was going to be 2 weeks.
Right.
It ended up being a whole lot longer. I remember very clearly meeting and saying, okay, there's a lot we can't do. What are we going to do during that time? So we shifted to food as well. We even partnered with North Raleigh Ministries during that time. People being fed is really, really important. But then when the kids didn't go back to school in August and it was a full remote situation, we had 350, 400 kids we were serving that didn't have laptops, that didn't have access to the internet. We rented another apartment. We hired a bunch of college interns. We ran tutoring 13 hours a day, kept our community afloat. But then there was a huge informational gap. Our families are not surfing the internet.
Yeah.
They don't speak English. And so we were doing a lot of door-to-door, just informing them of this is what's going on. And then when kids started to go back in cohorts, okay, this kid can go, but this other kid can't go. And it's shifted to, we do a lot of transportation of kids who are sick. We do COVID testing on site and work with families about when their kids can go back to school. So we've just tried to kind of smooth over that process for our community. And it's helped the schools too. And so it's been a win-win.
Yeah, that's where the if you know other people, and connectivity is so important. And then with the school system, you can actually have a friendly relationship. But we don't think about that right now. And there's, and in many ways, yes, we need to hold the school system to account. And there's a lot of things about the public school system that need to be exposed and need to be discussed and need to be dealt with. But setting that aside, we are talking about children that are struggling and families
right.
that are struggling. And that's where you have to kind of be willing to divorce your political opinions. And these are very real things going on in the school system. Everybody that listens to the show knows. I know that. But then you set that aside and go, okay, let's just talk about people.
Well,
all the other
exactly.
stuff should strip away when we're just talking about people.
Yeah, mm-hmm. And I mean, I've sat in so many IEP meetings where a school has found a translator. They've brought the parents in that don't speak English. There's a room full of people all talking about one refugee student that's struggling. I've seen a lot of beautiful things and commitment to our kids in the Wake County schools here.
What are some
Raleigh.
Of the biggest things, the biggest challenges that you face as a result of COVID or just in general? Donna, we'll start with you.
I think the biggest challenge that we are seeing at North Raleigh Ministries is that it's the mental health crises. And so the families that we serve, they're already struggling under a tremendous amount of stress, not really having the capacity to make really good decisions. And so we want to help them overcome all of that. But it's taking a lot more to get there and to really dive in deeper. We've also had to add bilingual. We added a trilingual pastor to our team to help meet some of the challenges that we were experiencing with communication barrier. But the big, big thing is the mental health of the people that we're serving. And it's really stemming from isolation and the great unknown. Like, none of us know what's going on right now. We think we do, and it's one day a mask, and the next day it's not, and this works, and that doesn't work, and the story keeps changing. And so that's
challenging. Well, nobody knows how fully vaccinated is anymore. That's the goalpost is constantly
There's a lot going on. And so if you have means and you're not worrying about how you're going to put food on the table, you can probably think through it and adapt quicker. But if you're already stressed, you don't have food, you don't know about your job, and everything's always in some type of an array, add all of that to it, and it's crushing
people. Yeah, it's crushing. Yeah, that's such a great – that's an appropriate word, crushing. Did the people that you serve, whether it's refugee community or North Raleigh Ministries, are they aware of it, or do you see it in them? Because not everybody can always put their finger on – hey, I'm depressed. I've got some mental health issues going on here. But I imagine because you were doing this before COVID hit, that you've seen a difference. So how does that manifest itself when you see people struggling?
I've seen what we are seeing is an increase in suicidal ideation, and they're calling us. There's nowhere to go. So a lot of services shut down, and there might be a website that says this service is available or this service is available. But because of COVID and all of the unknown, mental health services have changed. Yeah. And so there is no outlet for people, and they are coming to us. And we were blessed. God graced us with a licensed clinical social worker who is a Christian. But she is fielding these calls, and it is the unexpected for us. It's not something that we anticipated, like diving into really deeply in 2021, but we have no choice because even we can't get a referral for them. And if we do get a referral, it's months out. We can't afford to let that go.
Yeah, you can't afford to get it.
It's life or death. Yeah.
Michelle, what about for you guys in the refugee community?
Well, mental health is definitely something that we, you know, we're struggling with our youth, especially. It is discouraging to be home, and our kids need support. They need additional supports that come from, you know, non-English speaking homes. They're working on their English proficiency. That's really difficult to do over Zoom. I think one of our biggest struggles has just been volunteers.
I hate that word now, by the way, Zoom.
Yeah, it's just become a way of life. I think we've accepted it to some degree.
But it's so normal for us. But people that you're serving and people that you're serving, Donna,
it's not.
They don't even have a computer. Mm-mm. So Zoom, talk about I have to learn a language. And now you're telling me to learn something on a computer I don't even have.
They have to use their phone.
Right.
They do.
Yeah, really challenging. I want to pick it up there when we come back.
Yeah, of course.
So we're talking to Michelle Suffrage from Refugee Hope Partners and Donna Pigott from North Raleigh Ministries. And then we'll talk about some of their biggest challenges that they're facing. Like Michelle just said, a lot of it's going to be volunteers, just boots on the ground and people willing to roll their sleeves up and get involved. We'll talk about that as well. This is Steve Noble on the Steve Noble Show. Don't go anywhere because I'm going to get all up in your face when we come back before we finish the show. I love you guys. That's why I tell you the truth. We'll be right back. Welcome back. It's Steve Noble, the Steve Noble Show, talking to Michelle Suffrage from Refugee Hope Partners and Donna Pigott from North Raleigh Ministries here in Raleigh, North Carolina. I've got links up for their Facebook pages as well as their websites. So hopefully, I know that for some of you, the Lord's moving on you as we hear their stories and learn about these ministries and the important work they're doing to reach people that a lot of us don't, frankly, don't even know. We drive by them. But like, for example, with Refugee Hope Partners now, living in North Raleigh, this particular area, for those of you outside the market, you have a North Raleigh where you live. It's a nicer part of town. And so there's one particular apartment complex on the corner of a couple of busy roads. And over the years, you've noticed that there's more and more people there that don't look like you, you being Caucasian. And eventually you find out that this is, and Michelle shared this earlier, back in 2007, there's like 10% of the folks there were refugees. Now it's what, Michelle, like 90%?
Yeah, close to 90%.
And so these things are there, and we tend to be like the story of the Good Samaritan, and we drive by. You know there's problems. You know there's needs. And we know they're out there. Most of us have the ability to do something about it as opposed to nothing. The question is, will we? And so that's why we're kind of driving towards this opportunity for all of us to support these two great ministries and what these two women of God are doing. Michelle, you were talking about, we were just unpacking a little bit about COVID and mental health and what was going on with the refugees, because now all of a sudden their kids are home. They don't know about Zoom. They don't know anything. And then now we have COVID in there. So mental health is probably – how is it manifesting itself in terms of these families, about 400 families that you guys serve?
From a mental health perspective?
Yeah.
It's just, you know, these families have been through so much. I mean, they've been through war. They've been through famine. Some of them have been imprisoned. Mm-hmm. Many of them have lost family members, a lot of family members. They've uprooted. They've moved to a new place. So in some ways, COVID hasn't been that overwhelming for these families.
Just bump in the road.
They're just used to moving forward. Wow. So I think getting the kids back in school has been really huge. But even when they were home, providing that structure every day that kids knew where to come to get the help that they needed relieved that pressure from the parents. Mm-hmm. And so they had a schedule. They knew what they were doing when. And we just provided that framework, which went a long way. But thankfully, our families are working. Finding jobs has not been a problem.
No.
So after the initial hiccup of
a lot of Americans are.
After losing jobs in the beginning, everyone is working. And been really great.
Yeah, that's huge.
That's wonderful.
I was going to ask kind of on-ramps for involvement and how do people get involved and what are your needs and how can we help? So let's address that. And Donna, if you want to go first, that's fine. And just talk to us so we understand how we get involved, what kind of needs you have. And then there's people out there that can help meet those needs.
So we have tons of ways of getting involved at North Raleigh Ministries. In fact, we have a Get Involved tab at NorthRaleighMinistries.com. And you can go check that out. But we are always in need of volunteers. We love volunteers. We celebrate volunteers. So if you want to get involved, you volunteer in thrift, and there's all types of things to do there. We have opportunities that are short-term, long-term, whatever you need. So I think that would be really great for people to join us that way. There's always giving opportunities as well. That's also under the Get Involved tab. And then our end-of-year campaign is openarmsopendoors.org, and that will share information about what we're doing right now and the challenges that we're experiencing and what we plan to do about those challenges. Giving food, donating items to our thrift store so that we can resell those gently used items. It's our primary income source. So all of that.
Yeah, and that's a huge
thing. It's a great way to get involved.
Because we've moved twice in 13 months.
Yeah.
And so we've done that before. And it's amazing how much stuff we have that we don't need.
Right.
And gently used items that most of us need to clean out our closets. So that's a really easy way, because that's a win-win.
It is win-win. We love it. And we
have
help.
Yeah. I love dropping stuff off.
Yes. And we'll meet you out there, get your stuff, help you get organized, and we'll take it and we'll fix it up and sell it.
and you said that's the primary.
It is our primary funding source.
Yeah, is to have a thrift store, which is a great idea. What about Refugee Hope Partners? Because I think both of you, what you'll have in common is, there's always financial needs. But human needs are sometimes even more challenging to get people to volunteer.
Yeah, and we have needs across lots of different programs. We have things that happen every single week. If you've got Tuesday afternoon from 3 to 4 available, we have a spot for you. But we have a lot of kind of more random opportunities. We do a lot with medical and social work, and we have families that can't provide transportation for themselves. And so we do a lot of transportation. We have a mentoring program for juniors and seniors in high school to help them over that hurdle of next steps. We have Bible studies that meet in the community. We need folks to bring a meal. If that's your gift and you have the gift of hospitality, we've got kids that love to eat and are really motivated by that. And then we have this whole huge increase in Afghans that are coming and other refugees. The numbers last year in the Triangle were about 200 people that were resettled. This coming year, it's going to be close to 2,500 or beyond.
Mm-hmm.
And so there's a lot of people coming with through really difficult circumstances. Many of the families we've talked to lost everything on the way to the airport in Afghanistan, multiple attempts to get to the airport. So even just like practical, food helps in the beginning.
Yeah, they show up with the clothes on their back.
The clothes on their back, and that's it. Yeah. And the weather in Afghanistan when they left is different than the weather that we have now. Yeah.
Yeah, because now it's getting cold and they don't have any concept of that unless they were up in the mountains, which most of them weren't. How do you mentioned the Bible studies and stuff for both organizations. How do you kind of deal with the spiritual aspect of it all? Because obviously we need to meet people where they're at. We need to help them with their actual physical needs, but they have a deeper need, of course. So how do you kind of weave that in? What does that look like spiritually at both ministries? Whoever wants to go first.
Go ahead.
Okay. For us, it's just a part of life. Our primary core value is gospel first. So that is what drives us. That's what motivates us in the community. These families have come through a lot of suffering and they've come through a lot of persecution. So everything we do is very out in the open. Mm-hmm. We don't do a bait and switch. We're not tricking people into those opportunities. It's through relationship with parents. We talk to families. If a kid wants to participate in a Bible study, that's a conversation with the family. Yeah. And the parents can say yes, and we're thrilled, and they can say no, and we're like, we'll see you at homework help on Monday. Yeah. It's no big deal. Yeah. And so we do have about 70 or 80 folks that participate in weekly studies and have grown
that's
in their
awesome.
Faith. And come to Christ even in those Bible studies. So I just have felt really strongly, we have felt strongly as a team that just being fully transparent in those discussions, right.
You're not asking them to be anybody other than who they are.
That's right. Yeah.
And we can be who we are as well. As
that's
well
right.
As Christ.
That's right.
How do they react to that? Especially, let's specifically Afghans, because I don't want to run out of time, but how are they reacting to the fact that here's a bunch of Jesus followers that are helping them and loving them and serving them?
Yeah. You know what we're seeing and what we're hearing right now is that they see the church showing up and serving them right now, and it's impactful. And they're giving voice to that, and it's done in a way that there's no expectation of response. It's just because this is what the gospel compels us to do.
This is what Jesus people do.
That's right. To what we're calling the mission of welcome, I think, is a really key thing that we are compelled to do, and the gospel drives us toward that.
I love that. It's refugeehopepartners.org, by the way, is the website there, Refugee Hope Partners. You guys have a website. You guys
do.
Are the real deal.
We are.
We've had
a lot of time to get there.
Yes, of course. And Donna, what about at North Raleigh Ministries? How do you kind of incorporate the obvious nature of it's faith-driven?
So we are very transparent. It's very clear, I think, on our website and through all of the materials that we provide. But every person that walks through the door is offered prayer. So no one leaves without food. No one leaves hungry. But the very next step is, how can we pray for you today and what's going on with your life? We have a pastor on staff. We have social workers on staff so that we can really have a provide programs that work through, you know, evidence, and then have a spiritual component to it. So we really are developing something that is wrapped in the love of Christ.
Well, there's what you do and then there's why you do
Yes.
it.
Mm-hmm.
And the why is always going to be naturally part of it.
Yes.
And I think most people, especially needy people, okay, fine, whatever, I don't care.
Right.
I just need help.
Yeah.
But eventually, as you develop a relationship, you guys know this, that those doors start to open.
Mm-hmm.
And you've proven that you care about them already.
Yeah.
So it's not a
and
big leap.
Some say no.
Yeah,
so,
of course.
And that's
they have the right to do
so
that.
We're
that's
like, okay, great.
Yeah, of course.
We'll make sure you're fed.
A couple minutes left. Just invite Donna. We'll start with you, then Michelle finish. Specifically, how can people help, like today, like right now?
Today. Well, today, if you want to make a gift, you can go to openarmsopendoors.org and make a gift there, financial contribution. And then also just go to our website and sign up to receive volunteer information. And that's Get Involved tab at NorthRaleighMinistries.com.
I'm looking at it right there, openarmsministries.com, and then volunteer opportunities under the Get Involved tab. Nice and easy.
Right.
What about at Refugee Hope Partners, Michelle?
Yeah, very, very similar. We have a Serve tab on our website. You can go there. You can sign up for our newsletter that comes out about it. Actually, we have one that comes out every week with ministry opportunities. Ways to serve. Giving is big for us right now. We are actually going to be opening up a welcome center in spring of 2022. So we're in a campaign right now to raise $200,000 by the end of the year to set us up well for that. But it'll be a stable location that refugees from all over the city, not just the ones living in the one community that you mentioned, can come for programming, can come for support, and come to find their community.
Yeah, so that's an actual, like a storefront kind of location, right?
Yeah, it's going to be a large programming space that families will be able to come.
They'll
know where to come to find us.
Yeah, that's so exciting to have a storefront for that. And then where's North Raleigh Ministries located?
Six Forks and Strickland Road is our Crisis and Development Center.
Which
and
everybody
thrift
in North
shop.
Raleigh knows exactly what you're talking about.
Yep, thrift shop.
And everybody
facing.
Else just surf the web, which is what old people like me say. Surf the web. Like people like us will go, it's www. Nobody needs to. No, it's just refugeehopepartners.org. or NorthRaleighMinistries.com. You right. all know there's a www in front of it, which, yes. in case you didn't know, stands for the Wild Wild West. Yeah. Michelle and Donna, it's great having you guys on
thanks,
today.
Steve.
Thanks so much
Thank
for
you,
being
Steve.
Here. Merry Christmas to you, and thanks for
Merry
sharing
Christmas.
So much today.
Merry Christmas to you.
All right, there you go. There's your marching orders. Get involved. Don't do nothing. That's not an option if you're a follower of Christ. This is Steve Noble on The Steve Noble Show. God willing, I'll talk to you again real soon. And like my dad always used to say, ever forward.
Another program powered by the Truth Network.